Well, praise the Lord. Thanks for reminding me about that, Brother Ben. I had remembered that, but anyway, you know, other things get in your mind. But I'm glad the Lord is so faithful. And He knows who His people are and where they're at and how to help them. And I just pray that the Lord will help us today and guide us and guide our thoughts. And last week we had, in a way, an unusual message and what was the title? The Meaning of Everything, something like that. But it emphasized the fact that the only reason this world, this creation exists is to prepare a family for God to live with and reign with for eternity. It's not about this world, it's about a world to come. And so whatever we as God's people experience in this world is part of God's preparation for that. It's not about this world and what we can achieve here and all the values of this world, but rather it has to do with that. But we emphasize the fact that Jesus Himself is not just an example in that He acted out what we were supposed to do, but rather He really and truly went through what we go through. With only one difference, He never sinned. Thank God for that. But he absolutely came here, as He said in His own words, not to do His own will, but the will of the Father. So it was His Father's plan He was here to carry out. He didn't have any earthly desires or anything else that He was about except, Lord, what do You want me to do? And I'm willing to do it. But also, we think of Him as being the Son of God, and oh, He could do anything. But while He was here, He lived, as we said, a life of dependence. The only way He could do what He did was to rely upon the strength that His Father gave Him. And that was what enabled Him to do what He did and to live out the life that He lived. But also we emphasize that the Lord doesn't want unwilling, grumbling children. He wants children that are so in tune with Him that we're filled with joy in doing what we do, in spite of the fact that we have to go through stuff here that is contrary. That there is a joy the Lord wants us to have and just all the positive things, a love for what is right, a hatred for what is wrong, not for people, but that we love all that pleases God and want to be in tune with Him. So all of those things are definitely part of it. But you know, as I came away from that and during the week, it just came to me more and more that that's as much of an accurate picture as that is, it's not the whole truth, is it? It's not the whole picture. Because it's one thing to say, well, this is what God is about and this is kind of how He does it. But the why? What is the reason for everything, the purpose for everything? I guess it might be another way to put that, the purpose for everything. Is it just so that we can be good people and achieve spiritual, level of what we call spirituality, where we're more like Him and we're just wonderful people? Is that really what it's about? There's something a whole lot deeper in becoming like Him. You remember we referred to, among other scriptures, the one in Romans 8, where the scripture that we have to resort to so many times, in all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. And what is that purpose? For the ones that He foreknew, He knew them ahead of time. He had a purpose for them, didn't He? What was that purpose? That they might be conformed, made like the image of His Son, that what? He, the Son, might become the firstborn among every brother and sister. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, who was used, as we said, to create everything. It was through Him the Father created everything, the universe as we see it, the world, sun, moon, stars, and everything. Yet He came down here, lived that life. And the scripture even talks about that process of living here and having to deal with this world as perfecting Him, as though there was something that He lacked, believe it or not, that God wanted to work in Him in order to prepare Him for the world to come. That's an incredible thought. Even the Son of God didn't have everything that God intended to have in order to live there and be a part of that. You think maybe we just need a bit? of God's change and God's work in us? Absolutely. And so I've thought of a number of scriptures. I'm just going to go ahead and start and trust the Lord to make sense of this. But anyway, let's look at John chapter 13. Jesus, of course, was at the Last Supper, spending the last night with his disciples. He knew what was coming. He said that. It was just before the Passover festival, he begins. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. So not only that part, but he knew what was coming in between. You know, I think most of us would have been pretty absorbed with what was about to happen to us. But look at all that he did that was focused not upon himself and, oh my God, look what I'm facing, how can I do? No, he was focused on his disciples, wasn't he? I think there might be a little bit of a lesson in that for us. Yeah. Okay, so he knew all this. As having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he came from God and was returning to God. So, you know, we think in earthly terms, all right, this is somebody about as important as anybody can be. It's about time to let's see that. All right, let's see what that means and see what it looks like in action. Okay? So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Okay, that doesn't quite compute, does it? What's the picture here? Who in that culture did that? Servants, slaves, yeah. This was somebody, I mean, the person at the meal, they were the important ones. The servant was just there to serve them and to meet a very, very lowly need, to take a place of great humility and service. All right, now here's the Son of God doing that. I want you to think about, can you imagine sitting down and the Son of God comes up to you and says, I'm here to wash your feet. Whoa. I mean, get the picture of what the Lord is conveying here. That's really something, okay? So after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter. Okay, how many times does Peter stand out as somebody who's not quite with it and full of zeal and all of that? But anyway, came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Now think about this from an earthly point of view. I mean, you can understand Peter, understanding who Jesus was, said, this is not right. I mean, I should be doing this for him, and he wants to, that's not right. Something's wrong here. Gotta object. So he says, no, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Ooh, kind of a shocking thing to say. Then, Lord, Simon Peter said, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Lord, if that's what it takes to be part of, you know, connected with you, I want a bath if it's what it takes. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone was clean. When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Okay, and then he goes through the part where Judas goes out But he comes down later and talks about how a new command I give you, I think this is down in verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, what is the Lord conveying here? Remember, it's not just about God in some vague way preparing us to live in a world and not mess it up. We're getting a picture here of what that means. What is God's nature? If you had to describe God and his nature in one word, what is that word? Love. Well, this kind of love that he's talking about there in the scripture has nothing to do with what we call love here in this world. The human nature is devoted to self-love. And so if someone pleases me sufficiently, then I love them because they make me feel good and they serve my needs. But I'll tell you, the love of God is self-sacrificial love focused on the absolute welfare of the other. It is the polar opposite of selfishness. And here is Jesus at a crucial, critical point in his ministry of conveying to us the will and the purpose of God, showing us what that is. It's not about me. You know, we could take what I said last week in a way and kind of apply human reasoning to it and think, oh, I have got to achieve a level of spirituality where I can puff out my chest and say, boy, I've arrived. I'm like him. Praise God. I'm just so spiritual. I don't mess up anymore. I don't do this. I don't do that. So I'm spiritual. My God. You think there's just a little bit of pride thinking that way? And here's Jesus facing the cross, and he's focused on them and trying to convey something to them. I didn't come, he said in one other place. You remember the two disciples and their mom came to him and wanted Jesus to grant them to sit on his right and left hand in his kingdom. And Jesus used the opportunity to point out how, you know, earthly thinking is like that, but I didn't come. Here I am. You know who I am. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I came to serve and give my life a ransom for many. The kingdom of God is not about self-centered living. It's about service to one another. You know, we've often said it's not religion but relationship, and that's absolutely true. If there's not a living relationship with him, then there is nothing. If we have simply signed on to a certain group of whatever we call a church, an organization, a denomination, whatever, and we assign on to believe what they believe and sing the songs they sing and profess what they profess, what good is that if there's no reality? If God hasn't come to possess the heart and to live there, there's nothing to it. But God just doesn't come to have this private pipeline to heaven where we just feel good about ourselves and, okay, everything's great and grand. God has put us in a relationship together where we are, as Scripture says, members one of another. Now, it's interesting how Jesus makes a contrast between having a bath and needing your feet washed. Folks, if you have ever truly opened your heart and repented of your sins and embraced the new heart and the new life that he comes to give, there's a bath that happens. There is a cleansing of the soul that is based entirely upon what Jesus did. All that he did at the cross is applied to you. It becomes yours. It becomes a reality. There is a cleansing that the devil himself can never take away when that's truly happened. When the heart is sealed and belongs to him. So what's this business about foot washing? He says you had a bath, but you still need your feet washed. The reality is that part of living in this world, even as sons and daughters of the living God, we're still affected by it in varying ways, in varying degrees. And that's what the symbolism is. Yeah, I may have had a bath, but my feet sure get dirty. And so, And I'm certain that we could very plainly indicate from Scripture that we're responsible to watch over ourselves and to seek God and to do the best we can. But the picture here is that even that's not enough. There's a place that there's a way that God's nature is reproduced in us when we care about one another. That means my life does not revolve around me and my spiritual welfare and who I am and what I'm supposed to do. It's revolved around you. If God has given me anything, it's not for me. It's for you. And that's what begins to come out when you read through the Scriptures and you realize what this kingdom is about. Every one of us has a place and has a responsibility to watch over one another and to help one another through this earthly journey. We walk together and we're not complete without one another. We need one another. Now, I probably need to emphasize this or point this out. This scripture has been used many times in the past to apply to one issue, and rightly so. It is wider and bigger than that, but the fact is that every one of us at times needs correction. We mess up. Sometimes we do something that is against somebody and it offends them, or it's somehow, you know, it's a negative thing, and we're really acting out of our own old nature. Or we could be just caught up in something and not even realize something's begun to affect us. And so, you know, there's a place in Scripture for us to correct one another. But boy, does that have to be laid out carefully. Because we don't ever, ever, ever get in the place where we're standing there and saying, I'm doing great. What's the matter with you down there doing whatever you're doing? And not only that, You did that to me, and I ain't going to have a proper, I'm not going to receive you until you straighten up and make it right. I'm going to harbor that thing against you forever until you straighten up. No, my God, that is so far from the kingdom of God and from the nature of Jesus. Oh, look at how he reached out to sinners. The woman at the well, the woman taken in adultery. Example after example of the Lord's heart reaching out and not coming with a condemning spirit, but with a spirit to lift up and to rescue and to cleanse. They didn't feel rejected and condemned. They felt loved. Do you suppose just maybe that's what the Lord wants to reproduce in us? So that every interaction that we have toward one another, even where there's a real need, is motivated by that kind of a heart? Now, we know that Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, what are we supposed to do? Go to them privately, one-on-one, and tell them the need. Now, again, what kind of telling are we talking about here? This is full of grace. I think other scriptures can make that very plain. But there's a need here, brother. I want to be one with you. Something has happened here that the devil's trying to get in. He's trying to break fellowship here, and I'm hoping we can just take care of this and just leave it in the past, go forward. And, of course, he gives instances where that's not enough and you have to bring some others to bear witness. You might be wrong. And so there's that need for somebody else's witness, and then there are instances where all of that just simply exposes the condition of somebody that really isn't part of the fellowship to begin with. And they just cling to their right and their way when they're obviously to everybody else wrong. So that is one application of this, that God wants us to have a concern that is focused on one another, not with a self-righteous, what's the matter with you kind of a spirit, but to protect and to nurture and to see every one of us brought out of the bondage of sin and death into the freedom of Christ. But one of the scriptures that comes to me about every time this subject comes up in my mind is in Galatians chapter 5, I believe it is. And it's the beginning of 6, yes. because he's talked about the context here. He's talking about freedom. And he's talking about freedom from the demands of the law and trying to live by that and trying to earn our stature with God by keeping laws. He says, that's not the way it is. We are come to a place where grace is what rules. We get God's help and God's strength and God's cleansing. It all comes from him, and we walk in that. But he says we don't use faith or grace or freedom to serve our flesh. That's not freedom. Jesus didn't buy our freedom so we're free to sin. He died so that we'd be freed from sin. But just not freed from sin so that we're free to love one another. God wants to set us free from every aspect of the human nature so that we can begin to have a positive impact on one another and help one another and do it in the right spirit. Boy, as soon as you get human nature in there, something's going to mess with that. But God is working that in every one of us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But now you come down to the situation where somebody really is in need. In beginning of chapter 6, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin. All right, so the devil's been able through somebody's weakness to begin to make an inroad into their life, and they're falling under its influence, and you're aware of that, looking on. Okay, what do you do? All right, you who live by the Spirit. Now, at this particular point, you're walking with the Lord, and there's a sensitivity to this, not a sense of, boy, what's the matter with you, but of love and a concern, the same kind of heart that the Father has toward us. Do you think he looks down and expects us to do something in our own energy? No, he knows we can't. He knows we need salvation. But now we have a relationship with one another where God's love has been made known to us. How is God's love made complete that John tells us? How do we make God's love complete? By just returning it to him? No, by expressing it to somebody else. God just doesn't dump a bucket of honey in our souls so that we can sit there and enjoy the honey. It's so that we can share it. And so he's talking about somebody here that at this particular point in their lives, they're walking with the Lord. There's a sensitivity, but there's a desire. We're in tune with one another to the point where we can help one another. And we have that heart to do that. Okay, that's who he's talking about. Because if you don't have that kind of a heart, you're not walking in his Spirit. Okay? You who live by the Spirit should restore. It's not castigate, separate, condemn. Lord, brother, I see the devil's been trying to get a handle here. And I want to encourage you. I want to shine a light on this because I want you to be free. You're my brother. You're my sister. I care about you. God cares about you. Restore that person gently. That's a wonderful word there, isn't it? Again, you sense the Father's heart in some of this. You sense how the Spirit of Jesus in this. Do you ever see a place where he's just, you know, there's somebody that he's reaching with the heart of the gospel, and there's this, you know, angry, what's the matter with you kind of spirit? No, always reaching out to lift up. Restore that person gently, but here we are. We haven't arrived yet ourselves. So there's still a danger that we ourselves may be washing their feet. We need to remove some of the dirt that has gotten onto their feet as a result of walking in this world. You see the imagery that's being painted there? But let's never forget, we're still here too. So he says, but watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and so in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So you see the picture there. If I'm walking with the Lord, and I have this sense of I see somebody, and I see the devil just getting a hold, and they're not quite tuned into that. And I have a heart that wants to reach out to them. There's a place for that where I can gently reach out and seek to help them and seek to show them, always with a gentle spirit, always with a spirit that says, brother, you may be coming to me next time. I'm not coming here from way up here looking down at you. I'm coming from right here. We're in this together. We're all in a place where our feet get dirty. Every one of us is going to, in one way or another, at one time or another, we're going to have our feet washed. But oh, the heart of Jesus in showing the spirit that he wanted his disciples to have. He says, I'm sending you out into the world. You're my representatives. I'm the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's what's behind this. But what way am I sending you out? There's so much religion where people are lifted up and they lift themselves up and it's a spirit of dominion and glorying and who they are. My God, it's not like that. That's not the spirit of Jesus at all. Think of what Paul said. Think of the heart of the one that we probably think of as the greatest of the apostles. And he said, we preach not ourselves. I'm not the message. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus as Lord. But he doesn't stop there, does he? Look, you read that in 2 Corinthians 4 near the beginning. And ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. Isn't that amazing? Here's Paul, who could have, by every human measure, lifted himself up and say, look, God's put me way up here. I'm down here to reach out and straighten you all up and try to get... No, I'm right here with you. I fight battles every day. I'm still reaching for what the Lord has for me. But the whole purpose for which I live has changed. It's not about me anymore. It's about you. My purpose for living is for you. Isn't that kind of what Jesus did? Why did he come down here? Why did he come? Yes, the Father was working something in him, but the perfection that the Lord brought was for him to endure everything up to and including death on the cross. But why did he do it? What was the purpose? Was it for him so he could achieve a stature before God? It was for us. His whole being, every purpose for which he was here, had to do with you this morning and me. Without it, we'd have no hope. We'd be lost. But that's the expression of God's heart. That's what God seeks to transform us into, that image. He wants us to know him and to express his heart. He wants to be able to express himself through us in wonderful ways. So many thoughts, I don't know. I just pray that God will somehow make this real. Because it's so foreign to the way we think. We're not here to straighten each other out, but we sure are here to help one another. I need help. God has put us, he's called us as a people. He built his church. A church is a called out assembly. We've been called out of this world, but to something. It's not to religious organizations. It's Christ building his people together, building relationships, and empowering every member of that body. It's the body of Christ. Every member of the body of Christ is empowered in one way or another to be a blessing to everybody else. And I know everybody struggles with what I'm about to say. We know that the pathway through this world is going to be one of trouble. We're going to have to be facing stuff that's adverse, that we don't like. It hurts. It kills us in one way or another. And we don't like it. But how does human nature tend to cause us to react to that? Who are we focused on? Ourselves. Oh, poor me. So-and-so has it so good, and look what I'm going through. And even if we're saying, oh, God, I want to handle this right, so many times the tendency is for us to be focused on me, how I feel, and how am I doing, Lord, and all those kinds of things, but we're self-absorbed. It's all about us, and I know some people are have more of a tendency that than others, but we all have that tendency. Given the right circumstances, we basically focus on me and how am I doing. And that's one thing that I wanted to say something about this morning, because we could be so caught up in trying to be like Jesus in a wrong sense that we are focused on our performance. And we're always trying to get feedback. Okay, Lord, did I do that right? What am I supposed to do now? Oh, you know, a constant state of struggling and questioning and wondering and being anxious. And Lord, I did this, but did I do it right? Oh my God, God wants to take us out of that kind of bondage. He wants us, obviously, to deal with our own spiritual journey with Him, to take things that we know are wrong to Him, to bring the burdens and cast them upon Him. All that's part of it. But there is a place that I believe with all my heart God wants to take us to, where we learn how to cast our burdens upon the Lord and then do what? Leave them there. To believe Him enough to say, Lord, You've got this. I've done what I've known to do. I've confessed my need. I put the situation in Your hands. I'm just going to rest in You and do what I know to do. And then I'm going to sit there and worry about it 24 hours a day. And of course, your snickering tells me that you know what I'm talking about, because we all do that. But do you kind of get a sense of what the Lord's trying to say here? There is a place for coming to Him, for seeking Him. After all, Jesus, after He'd spoken to His disciples for quite a while and even prayed for them publicly, openly, where they could hear Him, He still had to go through His 3 hours of agonizing prayer. So there was a time when, yes, He was focused on His own need for strength to do what He had to do. But still, right in the face of all of that, His focus was not on that when it needed to be helping the others. God wants to set us free from self in every form. And self focused on the things that self goes through, and just never getting free from that, is not being free from self. Think about it. If that's the focus of my life, how in the world can I do what He's talking about here? It's all about me. And we'll say, oh yeah, but if the Lord will just straighten them out and fix this and give me the, you know, heal me or do whatever, then I'll serve Him. Did Paul do that? Paul was so devoted to the call that God had given him to be a servant. Servant of Jesus, but a servant of the people. That it didn't matter what it took. You read through what we have often read through in 2 Corinthians 4, and you'll see all that he went through. And yet, even then it was, this was terrible, but. He got his butts in the right place. But then he came down, and you get the sense that all of this is for you. The thing that just drives me is I want God's best for you. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. If God kills me today, praise God. If that's what it takes for you to have what you need, that's where I get my satisfaction and joy. I'm not living for what I get out of this world. You think maybe the Lord has that for us, for all of us? Is that just for the Pauls and the Peters and others? Or is that for every believer? You know, it's something I've said in the past. The Scripture likens God's people to a body. And we're familiar with bodies to some degree and how they work and when they don't. But anyway, if you take a healthy human body the way God designed it to work, every member, every part of that body has a place and has a function. And there is not a single part of the body that lives for itself alone. If you got something in your body that lives for self alone, we call it cancer. All it wants to do is take and not give. But every part of our body is designed by our Creator to take the energy that is taken in by the stomach and all of that, and it's distributed so that we have it, so that every part of my body has energy. But what do I do with that energy? I say, oh, this is great, I feel one. No, I've got a place, I've got a part to play. God's given me an ability, and that ability to help belongs to everybody else. It's not just mine to feel good. God has placed every one of you and me, every one of me, all in me, in this body, among this people. He's given us ability. He is working in us. And He wants our minds and our hearts to be geared this way. This is, like I say, I don't have to say it really. We are so geared the other way. We are so focused on us that even in spiritual things, the danger is that I'll be thinking about me and how I'm doing. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm going to do everything I know to do. I'm going to commit it into your hands. But Lord, help me this day to rest in your hands, to believe your promises, and to just be available. Now, you can jump in either ditch. You can either live a selfish life, or you can be one that just, okay, I get it, Lord. I'm going to jump into everybody's life and really try to help them. And it's just you doing it, spouting this and spouting that. God wants us to find the place of rest where we do what the Lord shows us to do. We learn how to just be sensitive and maybe to recognize that there's a brother or sister who's got their feet dirty. But getting your feet dirty is not just a matter of falling into sin as we think about it. If you're so absorbed right now in something that's very difficult for you and you're struggling, the devil is oppressing you, what is it that you need? You need encouragement. You need somebody that knows how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Now, that is not just reciting stuff out of a book as in human energy. That's God actually enabling you to speak something, and it's His Spirit that's in it. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. If God wants to reproduce the very nature of Jesus in us, is that not a pretty good description of it? Yeah, we got a lot to learn. We're so quick to speak sometimes, we need to shut up. And other times we're just, you know, we back in a corner and we don't get it. But God wants a people who are free and sensitive and in tune with Him and love one another to the point where you become more important. Whether you're doing, the fact that you're doing good is the thing I live for, and that's what gives me joy. I know God's going to take care of me. Didn't Jesus say, the one who waters will be watered? Given it will be given to you. You see the heart of God being expressed in different ways. And I see that in a great measure here in many lives. I'm thankful for all of it. But it's, you know, like I say, it's one thing to talk about the fact that we're here being prepared for that or that in your the future in your direction. But we need to know why we're here. We need to understand and get that picture of how we're to help one another. Now, a couple of scriptures that we've read many times, but I want us to see them in this context. Philippians 2, just the beginning of it. And Paul has expressed his own desire. In fact, he said, I've gone through so much, I just as soon go on. Anybody ever been in that place? Yeah, I'm tired of this. Lord, take me home. But what was his reasoning for saying, no, I need to stay here? Was it about Paul? No, it was about what God had called him and enabled him to do for everybody else. Because I'm not here for me, I'm here for you. And even though I've still got to go through a lot of stuff, and I'm in prison right now, it's not fun. All I've been through, this is what drives me, this is what gets me up in the morning, is so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. That's kind of foreign, isn't it? Lord, help me just to so be in tune with you so that I can actually be a help to somebody today. And I'm not going to run around looking for, you know, flapping my gums looking for ways to do it. I'm just going to be sensitive and know that you're going to open the opportunities. And when I speak, I want it to be you speaking, not me. Okay? So here's Paul encouraging them in chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, what? Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. So you see, Paul, where's Paul getting his joy from? If they were doing good, man, he was rejoicing. If they weren't, it didn't matter what he was doing in some private little relationship with God. That's what matters to me. That's what I'm here for. Jesus was not here for himself. He was here for us. We're here for each other. So then he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Now, if you got somebody doing something out of selfish ambition and vain conceit, it's kind of obvious self is on the throne. It's either what can I do to achieve some place where people recognize I'm important, I matter, I want a place. You know, I've observed this in some of my travels, some of our travels. Brother Jim went with me and Ben went with me, Carl went with me. But I remember instances in India particularly. You know, Brother Kumar has a huge ministry with many, many other ministries that have been raised up under him. And they have great responsibilities and they go out. But every once in a while, one of them will suddenly say, I can be like him. I don't have to sit here and just do what he says anymore. If he wants to send me, I can run a ministry too. Look, I see how he does it. I can do that too. I need to go find some sponsors. And I need to go out and really gather me a ministry. And I've observed that in different people. And it became an issue. I've seen certain people, there's a certain division, a certain split, or somebody that needed to be corrected. I'm thankful that one man that I think of that got caught in that a little bit, far as I know, he's still doing good. When I talked to Kumar about him last summer, and he had really gone sideways there for a while, but the Lord brought him back. But this is self on the throne. God has not given us spiritual responsibility so that we can achieve something that looks good in people's eyes and makes us feel good about ourselves. Paul was not out there conscious, okay, I did good today. Everybody thinks well of me. That's wonderful. Praise God, I'm spiritually successful. He didn't think about that. His focus was on them. My entire joy is I'm seeing Christ reproduced in others. God's given me abilities and I'm pouring that into them. That's where I get my joy from. Where do you get your joy from? I believe God wants to bring us to a place where our joy comes from being able to help one another. I wonder how many times, we've certainly mentioned this in the past, but how many times do we get so caught up in our own burdens, our own needs, and somehow the Lord brings us into contact with somebody else in need, and we forget about what's going on with us, and we focus on them, and we help them, and our attention gets diverted from self and what self's going through, and what happens? It's a blessing to them, but it relieves us. That's part of being set free from self. It's self-absorption with me and my problems. Oh, there's got to be a place where we can give them to the Lord and go on and be set free from that in a practical sense. All right, so you see where he's going with this. Not in vain conceit, which is where we think we're something that we're not. Again, Paul said, I don't preach myself. I'm a servant. Okay? But rather, what's the rather here? In humility, value others above yourselves. Boy, that's human nature, isn't it? In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And this is where he goes into the example of Christ himself, who didn't value his own welfare. It was all about what he was able by the power of God to do for us. That is the relationship God desires for every believer in the body of Christ. It's what can I do to benefit the body of Christ based upon what God has given me to do it with. I'll let you correct my grammar on that, but that's all right. Praise God. Peter is a pretty good example. He finally learned. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, the language is extremely clear about what this is about. Verse 7 of chapter 4, 1 Peter. The end of all things is near. Boy, if it was near then, what is it now? Therefore, in light of that, this world is not permanent. So what am I supposed to be doing? What's the important thing? Is it what can I do and what can I achieve in this world? No, be alert. There's an awareness. That's not an anxious alertness. That's just, Lord, I want to be in tune with you. I'm resting. I'm coming to a place of rest and humility and realizing I'm dependent on you and being okay with being dependent on him. Okay? That's part of last week, I guess. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray, so that you may pray. Above all, what's the most important thing God is looking for from us? That we are spiritual giants? No, above all, love each other deeply. That's what God values above everything. If we can get to that place, the other things will be in their proper place. Okay? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, here's the key. Each of you, that means each of you, should use whatever gift you have received to do what? To parade before others and say, look at me? You know, most of the gifts aren't ones that are public, like we think of somebody being up here. And of course, there were no pulpits in the New Testament. They sat around in homes. Praise God. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Just like the human body is given the ability to perform certain functions that benefit the whole body, we as members of the body of Christ are given spiritual ability. That's divine help, divine grace. Not just so that I can get through life and be a, you know, successful Christian. It's so that I can help you. You think about Peter and Paul and those who wrote these kinds of things and all that they had to go through. But yet they had this sense, God has given me a calling and an anointing. That anointing is entirely designed to help other people. And if it's not doing that, it's not fulfilling the purpose for which I've been given it. God gave me abilities. What for? So that I can help you. I can wash your feet when they need washing. I can speak that word of instruction, of encouragement, of admonishment where that's needed. I'm a part of a company of people who have to navigate this world, and we've had a bath. Thank God for the bath. Thank God for the bath. But our feet get dirty, don't they? How do they get clean? God's plan is that we help one another and learn how to speak that word in season, or to pray, to know about something and say, Lord, please help them right now. Lord, this matters. Some of you remember years ago, the Lord gave me the illustration of God's fireman. When prayer was like a fireman with a hose. And true prayer is like a fireman that he connects his hose to a source of water, but then he directs it somewhere where it's needed. That's what real prayer is meant to be like when it's concerned, especially when it concerns somebody else. We need to be connected to God so that the energy that makes prayer happen comes from Him. It's not just us going through a form of mouthing words. Lord, anoint me to pray. Help me to pray. But then that prayer is directed at situations and needs, and God's life and God's power actually makes a difference. We're not just begging God to do stuff. We have the power ourselves to affect situations. And God wants us to exercise whatever gift, whatever ability he has given us. That's given me for you. What abilities you have are given you for to help me, because I need it. My feet get dirty. Sometimes I need encouraging. We all need encouraging. We all need all of the things that are mentioned in here. All right? Stewards, faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. That's God's energy, his power at work, saving lost sinners. If anyone speaks, so this is one of the possible ways, one of the possible gifts that God gives. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. God help us. God help us. Pray. Anybody gets up here, we don't need to be mouthing doctrines and traditions. We need to have fresh manna from heaven. We need to have whatever the Lord wants to speak on a particular occasion. And he is faithful. And isn't that what it's about? It's not us to not our place to work it out, but it is our place to be in that position, to recognize it. But this goes for every one of you. It isn't a matter of getting up here and saying words. It's a matter of whatever your place is to be able to wash someone's feet and encourage them and be a help to them. All right? If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. One other thing that comes to mind. Paul, in writing to people like Timothy and Titus, who were laborers under him, he would direct them to go and stay with this church for a while. There's some needs I want you to address. Timothy was sent to Ephesus for a while at one point. But he encouraged them to take care of themselves. Watch out that you don't get caught up with earthly desires. You need to rule over them. And it had to do with their ability to be useful to God. You remember the King James language, that you may be a vessel meet for the master's use. That means useful. And if we are going to be able to help one another, we're going to have to walk with the Lord ourselves. You can't live a double life. You can't just let sin get a kind of a foothold in your life and something you know is wrong and then expect to be able to go out and help people. God wants us to walk in what he gives us, to do so by his strength, because I can't do it without him, to do it with thankfulness and joy, but to realize even in all of that, it's not about me. It's so that I can help everybody else. That's the nature of God that is going to dominate the world to come. We'll be living for one another. And I'll tell you, if you live for somebody else in God's economy, don't worry about your needs. God's going to see about that. But we're gonna be like Jesus and like the apostles. We're gonna get our joy from being able to help somebody else. That's what thrills me at the end of the day. Lord, thank you that I could be in that place where you could give me something that I could give them that would help them, make them stronger, make them more encouraged, bring deliverance to their lives, wash their feet so they'd be more clean. And then they're gonna be equipped. Because the day's going to come when I'm going to be in that low place. I'm going to need someone to speak to me and encourage me or pray for me. You kind of get a little bit of a picture here? When Jesus said that we need to wash one another's feet, it covers a lot of ground. Yeah, it covers correction, but it covers encouragement, helping people to be able to see past the way the world affects them and say, wait a minute, you don't have to listen to that. You don't have to go that way. You don't have to be under that wisdom, that so-called wisdom, because it didn't come from God, it's coming from the enemy. God wants you to go by by his promises. We can admonish, encourage, and all of those things, but we do it with the energy he gives us. And God's going to grow his people up. You know, one of the pictures of the call to which we've been called is that of adoption. And we've made this point before many times. Adoption in the ancient culture of the day didn't have to do with adopting a kid who didn't have parents, or for whatever reason they needed a new family. This was raising a child born in a family, but raising them to the point where they have reached adulthood. They are completely prepared to represent the family, their culture, as you will, their interests in every way. They are absolutely finished products, if you want to put it that way. I'll tell you, God has got us on a track. If you know Him, we are on a track to become finished products. The redemption of our body is the final seal of being adopted and presented to all creation as, these are my sons and daughters. I have prepared them. They are ready to rule over the world that is to come. They have submitted themselves into my hands. My grace has changed them from all that they were into what I have made them. They are now my sons. I can trust them with a new creation. They will handle it right. They will love one another. There will be a peace and a harmony and a joy in that life and a meaning and a purpose. But right now, we are called to walk together in love. We are called to have our focus be not so much on ourselves. Do what we, you know, fulfill our responsibilities, but hand that off to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not here just for me. I'm here for everybody else. How can I be of service today? How can I encourage others? How can I wash someone else's feet, knowing that I have the same need? How can we walk together? And I'll tell you, we've got somebody who is our example, don't we? He wasn't just acting. He wasn't play acting. This was the Father's heart. You want to know what the Father is like? You look at what Jesus did when He got down as a servant and washed their feet. That's the heart of the God we serve. Praise God. Praise God for someone who loves that way. May we be granted the grace and the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to be His sons and daughters in this broken world. He is faithful who promised. Praise God.